longer than that. If you go back into the Old Testament, into books like Isaiah and things like that, you will hear this story prophesied. And so for thousands of years, this story has been told. But it wasn't until 2,000 years ago that it actually happened. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. If you have an electronic version, you can follow along there as well. It's interesting, we are doing as a family this Advent devotional. And the song we sang, the one line says, "Your glory, Lord, is what our hearts long for." And one of the devotionals this week was my day to read. And so out of the two pages, I think the man used the word glory or glorified or some form of the word glory about 75 times. It actually got to the point where they thought I was making it up, that I would just inject glory into sentences just because. But I often wonder if we don't tire of the glory of God. And is it something that our hearts really long for? Do we wake up excited that His mercies are new every morning? Excited for what God has for us that day? Whether it's a new person we're going to meet or a conversation that we're going to have or an opportunity to parent in a different way or maybe in a new way that we haven't seen before? And do we anticipate that God is going to do some incredible things in our lives each and every day, especially this holiday season as we head into Christmas and a lot more people are open to spiritual things? And I think it's interesting that Jesus' birth here in Matthew chapter 1, that we'll read in just a few minutes, has really started the most generous movement among the world that the world has ever seen. And this time of year, you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, people are more generous than most of the rest of the year. And yet most of the people have no idea, or at least won't acknowledge, why they're being so generous. And so here in Matthew chapter 1, we read, and we're going to focus on really one idea this morning. And that is this, that the name of Jesus is so soft and so sweet that it breaks no man's rest, but rather yields a peace unrivaled, the peace of God. We just sang about no longer being a slave to fear. Can you remember before you came to Christ the fears in your life? Will you be able to pay the bills? Who will you marry? What kind of job will you have? What kind of career will you have? Things like that. But once at the moment that we come to Christ, our fears ought to start fading because we understand the sovereignty of God and that God has a plan for our lives and that He's going to work that plan. We understand what the Apostle Paul says when he says that God works all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His name. You see, it's been said by a lot of people that the name of Jesus is honey in the mouth, melody in the ear, and joy in the heart. That Jesus' name is honey in the mouth, a melody to your ear, and joy in the heart. And so when you open the Bible or you hear the name of Jesus, which in today's world is fading, isn't it? You don't even see Christmas out there anymore. It's happy holidays. And although it may be fading in society, the name of Jesus, or any references to Christianity and Christmas, they cannot run from the foundational truth that this time of year was started by God. And they're not going to give it up, even if the only reason they're not going to give it up is for financial gain. They will continue to acknowledge that this time of year is special. You see, even though society may not acknowledge the biblical principles that Jesus instilled and that Christians live by, they understand that if they at least somewhat live by them, whether they acknowledge them or not, that they will prosper. You see, the phrase Jesus, or as we'll read a little later, we'll find out things like he'll save his people from their sins. These phrases in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 have a significant impact on our lives and on the lives of those out in the world, whether they will acknowledge it or not. You see, the name of Jesus is so soft and so sweet that it breaks no man's rest, but rather yields a peace unrivaled, and that is the peace of God. You see, whether your coworkers acknowledge it or not, they're searching for peace. And it may be in buying that new thing. It may be in setting a New Year's resolution. It may be in a new relationship. It may be in a new baby this year. Who knows what they're searching for to fill that void of peace in their life. But they are searching for it. And the name of Jesus, as we read throughout the scriptures, is a fragrance verbally that they cannot run from. You may have a favorite perfume that you like to buy, or maybe a favorite cleaning product that you like to buy because of the scent that it gives off. And so you buy that over and over and over again. Well, the name of Jesus can be the same to people's lives and people's souls spiritually. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God." In Philippians 4:18, the Apostle Paul again reminds us that he received a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And so let me pose this question this holiday season. How much time have you paused to remember Jesus this holiday season? How many times have you stopped your family from all the hustle and bustle of this holiday season with all the parties and gifts and shopping and online ordering and everything to say, whoa, time out. Hey, let's just think about Jesus for a moment and his birth. Not just on Christmas Eve, where maybe you'll read the Christmas story or when you wake up Christmas morning, you'll read this passage possibly. But what about even now? Are you willing to pause to take advantage of this time of year where culture, generally speaking, is more open to spiritual conversations and ask people, where do you get your generosity from? Why do you think this time of year are we more generous as a culture than other times of year? And I'll be honest, this Christmas and all the shopping this year has been very tough after spending 5 weeks in a third world country where you see what's really important to families. They have no sports. They don't run from event to event. A lot of it's just geographically, but financially they can't afford it either. For soccer, they're kicking around a 20-year-old soccer ball, things like that. And they're kicking it around in the streets because there are no parks. And so relationships are what they pour into. Matter of fact, one evening we were there in Honduras. We got invited over to a missionary's home, and her husband spends most of the year in the States running the business. And then she spends most of the time in Honduras. And you would think that's an easy thing, or at least a wonderful thing, but she's there with her 12 children. And she invited the five of us over for dinner. And this wouldn't happen, or at least hasn't happened to us in the States. I don't know many family. I don't know if we know any family with 12 children. And here's the thing. It's not just 12 children that she and her husband had, but they've adopted most. I think 10 of the 12 are adopted. And several of them are children with special needs. One of them they adopted from China, who is deaf. And on top of that, as we're sitting down to eat dinner, there's this older woman, she was maybe 25, wandering the house. And her friend is on the, team with Wycliffe Bible translators that are translating the Bible into sign language for the deaf community in Honduras, because that's one of the largest unreached people groups in the world, is the deaf community. And so they actually have to create signs because there's not a lot of signs in Spanish, sign language, for different parts of the Bible. And so I think they were in Deuteronomy that night. I'm like, well, have fun with that, trying to come up with different symbols and things. But this mom of 12, basically single mom of 12, has her friend's daughter, who's 25, special needs, come over every Tuesday night so that she can watch her, so that the other woman can go and do translations work with the Bible. And I'm thinking, wow, this has put our hospitality to shame, my hospitality to shame. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, the people like what we make. Will the kids be okay? We're going to have to clean up the house. None of that was a concern to this woman. She just saw an opportunity to serve a family that was out of their comfort zone and invited us over. A fragrant offering. It brought some of the New Testament more personal to me when the Apostle Paul says in Philippians that your act of service is a fragrant offering to God. You see, our thoughts this morning and over the next month, hopefully, ought to go toward the thoughts of this little baby born in a manger. Who is this child? And how does he bring comfort to us? You see, although we've had the story over and over and over again, I want to interact a little bit this morning because most of you are familiar with this story. And so we're going to have a little bit of quiz time. And if you're wondering where the answers are, it's an open book quiz. They're found in Matthew chapter 1, particularly verses 18 through 23. So if you want to turn there, you can look there to find some of the questions. But let's just test our knowledge of the Christmas story this morning, okay? Question number one. To whom was the baby first revealed in the book of Matthew? No trick questions. I don't do that because I hated that in high school, college. Let's see. How many people say Mary? Now we'll know, right? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. It was Joseph, a carpenter. A carpenter by trade. That was his occupation. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't in the spiritual realm. He wasn't a religious leader. He was a carpenter. So if you think that your job is insignificant, think again. God will use a humble man, a working man, unknown and undistinguished, except by his character. You see, Joseph would work tirelessly. If you've ever watched a carpenter work, and there's all kinds of reality shows on nowadays that you can watch. People do carpentry, or maybe you're a this old house kind of person. It's hard work. You don't always know what you're getting into. But day after day, this man from Nazareth would go to work and build and build and build. And he was a just man. He didn't have unjust scales. He didn't charge people unjustly. But he was chosen by God to be the father of his son. You see, the Old Testament describes Jesus this way in Psalm 89. I have exalted one chosen out of my people, You see, no matter what career you are in, no matter what stage of life you are in, God has placed you there for a purpose and for a reason. And so you ought to embrace that. And here's the interesting part. You look at this lowly carpenter who was chosen by God to be the father, to be the earthly father of his son. But he sent the message via an angel to Joseph. And the message this angel didn't even fully comprehend. Because we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 that angels desire to look into these things. They desire to understand this topic of salvation that we talk about. So when your kids struggle with understanding why God would give the free gift of his son, Jesus, we can slow down and say, you know, you're not alone. Even the angels, spiritual beings who have spent eternity with God, don't even understand why God would do it this way. Somewhat of a paradox. And so in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, let's read what happens. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Now, I don't know about you, but as a dad, and having had to name 5 children, I think I'd be okay with an angel showing up saying, "Why don't you name your child this?" Now, it might be a little bit more difficult to convince my wife that an angel showed up, but it'd be a lot easier, right? Maybe you've gone through the struggle of trying to choose a name and choose one that's significant or one that maybe is not as popular in society. But here Joseph is in a dream. This dream did not wake Joseph up. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you find out angels coming to people in their dream, in their sleep, and they wake up because they're terrified. And the angels usually say, "Do not be afraid." But Joseph, on the topic of Jesus and what he is to name him, his son, the Lord sends an angel to comfort Joseph, and he doesn't even wake up from his sleep. Now, you may think that's insignificant, but that is extremely significant when it comes to the name of Jesus and what and the kind of peace that the name of Jesus can bring to society. That's why I think it's dangerous that society is cutting Christ out of Christmas, that it won't mention the name of Jesus, but at the same time, the name of Jesus, as peaceful as it is and as much peace as it brings, it can also bring division and can cause problems. I mean, you can talk about the Lord, you can talk about God, but when you narrow it down and mention the name Jesus, it rattles people if they're not followers of Christ. You see, the name Jesus brings to our mind, or ought to, a vision of glory. A vision that one day he is going to descend on this earth and take all his children, all the believers with him. And that he will reign from corner to corner, around the equator, north and south. He will reign on this earth for a little while. and then this earth will be gone for all eternity. Because he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. And that glory ought to be our answer to our kids when we say, you know what, when they ask, I don't understand this. Say, I don't either. But I am looking forward to Jesus fulfilling his promise that one day he'll return and one day he will take us to be with him for all eternity. And just as the angel said to Joseph, fear not. We don't have to fear that day. We don't even have to fear death if death comes before that day. Because at the moment that we die, we will be ushered into the presence of Christ. And the name Jesus ought to bring peace and comfort to us. You see, no name on this planet can banish fear like the name of Jesus. It ought to be the hope when we are in despair. We ought to look at the name Jesus, and when we're afraid or we're perplexed, the name Jesus ought to bring comfort to us. You see, at the moment of salvation, and if you were an adult, you probably remember the moment of salvation better than if when you were a kid. You know, if you were a young child, you don't remember the rebelliousness in your heart, although it was there. You hadn't lived life long enough to do terrible things, right? Or lived life for yourself, necessarily. But if you came to Christ as an adult, you know what your former life was like. The exhaustion to work and work and work only to have it end in despair. The hopelessness. And then at the moment that you were reconciled to God, the hope that you had. That all your fears were taken care of. You see, this name, Jesus, ought to be our delight. And when we don't know where else to turn, we ought to be able to turn to Jesus and even sometimes vocally out loud say his name. That when we're struggling with temptation or we're struggling with fear or we're struggling with understanding God's plan for our lives, that the name of Jesus ought to bring peace because it reminds us of a few things. It reminds us that God will fulfill his word. Remember, this name was prophesied thousands of years before. And God fulfilled his promise that his son would be born and his name would be Jesus. And the name Jesus, again, has spurred the greatest generosity year after year that this world has ever seen. And can we have the boldness and the courage to engage people in conversations around this name this holiday season? You see, mankind is whole. We're holistic. Our body, our spirit, our soul is one. It can't be divided. And so here's what takes place. Since the beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve, they were made in his image, which means they reflect his character, which means also because we are all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, that we too are made in the image of God, and we can, even the person that's furthest from God and rejects him fully, still reflects his character because they can't divide their soul from who they are. They can't divide their spirit from their body. And that is why I think people reflect generosity at this time of year and even throughout the year. Because God is a generous God to give up his son, his one and only son for mankind. Even before we profess him as our Savior, God extends his generosity to us. But let's not shrink back as followers of Christ. I mean, Jesus was very clear that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That no one gets to the Father but through him. And that ought to cause us to stand in awe of him. Wait, God made a way for us to be reconciled to him, to be brought back into a proper relationship with him. He didn't just leave us to ourselves, to our sin, to our selfishness. I mean, consider this around the birth of Jesus Christ. At this moment in history, man saw God's face for the first time. Think about that. Let that sink in. Now, it was masked in a body. Because if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that God hid his face from Moses because he would be consumed if he saw it. But at this moment, Mary and Joseph, most likely teenagers, were the first two people in the world to see the face of God. So when you think your life is insignificant, think about what God did with this young couple. You see, the name of Jesus is divine. When the angel brought the message from God to Joseph, he sent him with the message of, "You shall call his name Jesus." And I wonder if there was a pause there. And the angel just let that sink in to Joseph. A name brought down from heaven. But you see, Joseph, he would have been familiar with some of the history. This name wouldn't have been all that new to him in one sense. Because if you read the Old Testament, you find out that the name Yahshua, or Joshua, meant the Lord will save as well. And so though it was a Hebrew form of this word, or this name, Joseph would have recognized it. However, as you read the Old Testament and even the New Testament, there is no other name other than Jesus. And so there was only one name for the God-man that would have been appropriate. And if Joseph remembered in this dream, or maybe when he woke up, he would have remembered the Old Testament stories year after year that they would tell around the campfire that Yahshua is coming. Yahweh will come one day. The God who cannot be mistaken will call his son Jesus, Savior. And many will misunderstand his purpose in coming. But God won't refuse to continue to work and move in their lives. He won't refuse to work in the world. That he will commission his son to be the Savior regardless of whether or not this world accepts him or not. And if you fast forward about 30 years, you find out whether they accepted him or not. You see, the name Jesus, then and now, when we plead the name Jesus before God, we bring God back to his word. And he remembers his word and he honors his word. Don't allow that thought to slip away unnoticed this holiday season. That when we go to God, our Father, and say the name Jesus, it reminds him, if he forgets, which he doesn't, which is another paradox in and of itself, but it takes him back to the story of redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. You see, we ought not to take the name Jesus lightly. We ought to guard it. We ought to protect it. We ought to train up our children to not use it in vain. And dare I challenge all of us this morning to turn off a movie or the TV or music that uses the name Jesus Christ in vain? You see, if we fully understood the name Jesus, it would offend us in our homes when something came in that used his name in vain. And my concern is, oftentimes, we get more offended at someone making fun of our family members or maybe our mom than we do over the name of Jesus. And ought we, as followers of Christ, take a stand for the one who took a stand for us before a holy God, and the one who got nailed to a cross and took on the wrath of God, and we're worried about what a coworker is going to say to other people at the drinking fountain because we stood up for the name of Jesus? What might individuals, as followers of Christ, and what might churches do or accomplish if we defended the name of Jesus the way we defend other things in our lives? But keep in mind what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 4. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. You see, the next time someone uses Jesus' name for less than it is, and less than it was meant to be, and less than God delivered it from heaven, I wonder if we just said something like, you know, I'd appreciate it if you didn't use Jesus' name like that. Or as I've heard said out in public, would you kiss your mama with that mouth? You see, the Holy Spirit delivers a message through this angel. For he, the name Jesus, will save his people from their sins. This isn't just some other name. This name has meaning. The name Jesus means the Lord is our salvation. And we ought to protect it the way we protect other things in our lives. Maybe even infinitely more than we protect other things in our lives. I mean, after all, we buy car insurance if we get in an accident, right? To protect our cars. We buy home insurance to protect our homes if there's a fire. We have bank accounts that have emergency funds in case something breaks at home, right? We've insured other parts of our lives, but yet when it comes to this idea and this name Jesus, oftentimes we fail to speak up. Or we allowed to happen today what happened 2,000 years ago. And that is, the Jews were looking for a savior. They wanted someone to save them. And I think our culture today is looking for the same thing. But they're finding it this holiday season in gifts, in parties, in relationships, and things like that. But God said, that's not the way I'm going to send my son. You see, the Jews in the first century expected their Savior to come to break them from the Roman yoke that was upon them, and to save them from being under siege by the Roman Empire. But Jesus didn't come in that way. He didn't come for that purpose. He came for a far greater purpose, and that was to save them spiritually and to break another kind of yoke. And that was the yoke of sin. And that's why the word Jesus means save. There's very rich meaning. And unfortunately, in the English language, we don't have a word strong enough to communicate what the name Jesus means. And so we have to go back to how it's defined and how it was used in the first century. You see, the word save in the Old Testament, this word Yahshua, meant to preserve, to protect, to protect from danger, to secure something. And the name Jesus means to secure your eternal salvation, your eternal life. That at the moment you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are granted eternal life and it cannot be stripped away. That's why oftentimes, like in Hebrews, the Apostle Paul says this is a great salvation. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, he talks about the eternal salvation. Isaiah in the Old Testament says, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. That at the name of Jesus, our salvation is secure. It cannot be taken away. That's why all throughout the years, songs have been written, poems have been written about the security of our salvation. And you'll hear a lot of songs this holiday season about the name Jesus. And that ought to take us back to the promise of God, that he'll keep his word, that our salvation, our eternal security is done. It's complete. You see, God chose the message. God chose the meaning. And we ought to have integrity enough to respect God and the name that he chose for his son. You see, the Holy Spirit went on to describe this story, or describe this name. And he says, but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I like to keep the humanity in stories when we read these. Now, I don't know, maybe Joseph was far more mature than I was or am at this point in my life. Maybe he understood scriptures better. But I know if this was me, when I woke up from this dream, I'd be scratching my head. And if you're a guy in the room, you may be able to identify with me. Wait, was that a real dream? What's going on here? Wait. This child that my wife will give birth to shortly is going to save his people from their sins? Well, hold on, time out. I just need to take a breath here and let it sink in. Now, I don't know if Joseph stayed up the rest of the night contemplating this, thinking about it, maybe strategizing, or maybe he became excited as the reality of the name Jesus set in his own life and brought peace to himself, that he would be able to go to Mary with exciting news. Mary, I'm not going to put you away. Mary, I'm not going to send you away. Because whether they acknowledged it or not, he would send her away quietly, not to disgrace her, but that would disgrace her. Eventually it would come out that she was pregnant. Eventually she would come back with her family, with a child. And it would come out. So although he was being honorable, could you imagine the excitement by which he could approach Mary now and say, Mary, guess what happened? How exciting. This Emmanuel is going to live with us. Boy, are we ill equipped. But God sent a message from heaven giving us the name Jesus. God will be with us, Mary. And at the moment he was born, at the moment Jesus was cradled in their arms, can't imagine the excitement. And I wonder if today, as Mary and Joseph protected Jesus for several years, they ran from their home country to protect him at about the age of 3. Would we protect Jesus the same way when people in society don't understand why they're celebrating Christmas? Don't understand this little baby significantly changed the trajectory of the entire world, not just for 50 or 60 years, not just for 100 years, but for all eternity. I shared this with you before, but it is amazing to me as I talk with people out in the community that I ran into a young woman who didn't know that Christ was in Christmas, even though that's the way you spell it. People don't know. And how else will they know unless we tell them? God, I thank you for this story and for telling us this story. For Matthew writing it down. And being so excited to pen these words that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he'll not just save the Jewish people. He will extend the invitation and has extended the invitation to all mankind that if they would receive Jesus as their Savior alone, then he will save them from their sins for all eternity. So Lord, give us opportunities this holiday season to see Jesus and to hear conversations and to be bold enough to speak up, our words seasoned with salt, to share what Jesus means to us this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
sword, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holiness. Sing like never before, oh my soul, oh worship Your holiness. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 1,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, oh worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name.
So this week, God has continually put Ephesians 5 kind of in front of me. Ephesians 5:15 starts, "Pay attention then to how to live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord." And in a footnote in my Bible, it says, buying back the time. So it implies that time has already been lost. So I would challenge you this week to live intentionally in light of what is to come. So if you have a connection card, you can put it in one of the black boxes located in the back by the doors or over here. So let me close in prayer. Father, You are worthy of all of our praise, and we will give it to You today, in this week, this month, this year, Lord. Allow us to not lose sight of what this season is about, Your generosity in saving us. Lord, thank You for Paul and his wisdom in his dozens of letters written to churches all around Asia and Europe, Lord. I pray that You would continually remind us that the time is short. We are constantly reminded by Christ and by Paul, by Peter, and by John that the days, or the time is near when You will come again, and by that time there won't be any left. So, Father, I pray that we would live intentionally and not lose an opportunity to either love on people or share You with them. Lord, I thank You for opportunities that You give us. I thank You for the blessings that we often take for granted. In Your name, amen.